All right. So, yeah. All right, what I'm going to do is this week, I actually printed something out for you guys because I realized that, I realized that, I guess, in Sunday school, people are generally not, don't bring notebooks or take notes. Not a lot of people. So I'm providing some note paper for you with a couple of introductory things. So if you want to take and pass it around. So I'm hopeful this will help. Yeah, feel free to grab. Yeah, thank you. All right, let me open us up in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to talk about, Lord, evangelism and the mission of the church. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless our time together. I ask for just the work of your Spirit and that you would take these things and you bless them to our hearts and use them, Lord, to make us instruments of your work. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so does everybody have a handout now? Yeah. Okay. Now, this is not an outline for my notes because when I'm in a class and someone gives me like the lecture outline, I know I'm like reading through it and paying attention, only half listening to what's, and I want you to listen so we can engage and just have and talk. But what I did was, I'm giving you a notepad so that you can take notes. So if you don't have something to write with, we have a handy box here. So just raise your hand, and Sam will make sure you get something to write with. Okay. I have more, too, so there you go. Would you like one? You don't have to, Adam. You won't offend me if you don't. Anybody else? I am. That's right. All right. All right, so we've been laying just the foundations for the mission of the church, evangelism, throughout our time together. Our last session, we started kind of looking more at the nuts and bolts of what does it look like to share Christ with other people and to share the gospel. What I want to talk about today is evangelism context. And I have a question for you, and I'm interested to hear your thoughts on it. So two basic kind of contexts of evangelism are what you might call, people call cold evangelism and relationship evangelism. Cold evangelism being you're sharing the gospel with someone, you know, on a first-time meeting, and maybe it's the only time that you're meeting them. Street evangelism would be kind of your typical kind of cold evangelism. We're just on the street talking to people, right? Door-to-door can be an example, can be a kind of cold evangelism. So cold relationship evangelism is sharing the gospel with people that you have ongoing relationships with. These are neighbors, coworkers, relatives, friends. So here's a question I want to ask. What kind of evangelism should we be engaging in as a church? New Hope. New Hope. And when I say we, that includes you, right? So so both. Okay. Okay, well, that's good. I don't, that makes my job a little easier. No. No, you're absolutely right. We should be engaging in both. Both of those contexts are important and valuable. So what I wanted, but I wanted us to think a little bit more about both of those contexts. And starting off with, first I want to talk about cold evangelism. Then we'll talk about relationship evangelism, and then talk about what's key to some of the key things just in evangelism and in both contexts. But first, cold evangelism. And I think this is kind of more cold evangelism has fallen into hard times in some ways. I think another one, it's more difficult in a culture, in a more secular culture, where there's more spiritual blindness, right, today. In some ways, and barriers to the gospel. But it's also the people that do engage in cold evangelism, sometimes it's not modeled, often is not modeled well, you know. So, and most, raise your hand if you have done cold evangelism before. Just door to door, going out of the street, sharing the gospel with, you know, someone, just someone you're sitting on the plane with, you know. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit, begin by talking about why engage in cold evangelism. So I want to give a little bit of an apologetic for that cold evangelism. And, this is where it might be valuable to take notes. So first, it shows faithfulness to Jesus. Let me not put it that way. Shows. It is faithfulness. First reason, faithfulness to our Lord. Matthew 28:16. And this is the mission that Jesus gave to the church. I won't go over that, but we talked quite a bit about that. We talked a bit about that in when we were going through the Lord's Prayer. But that is the mission of the church. And if you're a member of the church, you've been called into the body of Christ. That's the mission into which you've been called. Go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. Jesus, right? Seek first, as the great priority of your life, God's kingdom and his righteousness. And that's, so when you're out in a cold context, speaking about Christ, sharing the gospel, that's faithfulness to Jesus. Second reason, you are investing in the harvest. I'll put greater harvest. John 4:35-38. Sometimes people say, well, and sometimes I've talked to pastors as well, who say, you know, that cold evangelism, that doesn't work. You know, we haven't seen, you know, we tried that and we didn't see anybody come into our church. I didn't see the results. I haven't seen anybody come to faith through street evangelism. Number one, I think the majority of people that you will have the privilege, you and I have the privilege of seeing come to Christ, will be people that you have relationships with. But when you're engaged in kind of the cold evangelism, what you're doing is you're sowing into the harvest. And the way Jesus, you know, and the Lord has arranged his program, right, the economy of salvation, often it's the case that one person sows, another person waters, and then another person reaps. And you see that in John 4, 35 through 38. I'm going to be preaching on that, so I won't go into detail. But there Jesus says, you know, here the saying holds true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that which you didn't sow. And so, you're sowing into the harvest. Wildwood last summer, last year, there was a younger man that came up in his early 20s. He was a college student with and the two girls. And it came up to our sign evangelism, and he's asking all kinds of questions, like, what does it mean to call on the name of the Lord, and what is it? And it's just very, I was like, wow, he is like really engaged. And I asked, what made you come up and talk to us? And he said, well, I'm actually a student at NJIT. And he said, a month or two ago, this spring, I was laying on my bed, and all of a sudden, the thought, like, came into my mind. Maybe God is real. This, like, sense of God is there. And all of a sudden, he started experiencing this, kind of like, I want to know God. Like, I want to know who God is. It's the Holy Spirit at work, right? And he said, the next day, he was on campus, the next day, I was walking across campus, and these other students came up to me preaching the gospel. So they were doing some cold evangelism. And he's like, whoa, like God's trying to get my attention, you know? They were sowing seeds right into his heart and working. And then God brings him along. We have another conversation with him. But you're sowing into the harvest. And sometimes, I mean, here's the thing. The more you sow, the more you will reap. I mean, that's a principle of just the way God's built the world. And often, the Lord will bless a church's faithfulness in just sharing the word by bringing people in kind of from other directions. I have a friend who's a church planter. He was a church planter with the PCA for years. Did church planting up in Connecticut, which is not a, you know, particularly, New England's one of the hardest fields in the U.S. But he said they did door-to-door every Saturday. And at the end of the first year, they had not had anyone come into the church as a result of that door-to-door ministry. But over the course of the year, God brought 12 other people into their church through the local university and through other different avenues. And he said, you know, I really believe that the Lord was just blessing our faithfulness, seeing our faithfulness in sowing by allowing us. And I think part of the reason the Lord does that is that he wants us to see that he is the Lord of the harvest. He is the one who brings forth the growth. You know, you have a program, an evangelistic program, and you you bring people from start to finish. It's just so easy to become, I think, not only prideful, but really kind of think, well, you know, it's my evangelism program, our evangelism program that, you know, built our church. And so the Lord says, no, I use you as means, but you sow, I'm the one who brings the harvest. And so I think by design, some water, some plant, some harvest. Yeah, Rich.
I think it's helpful to understand evangelism from our Reformed point of view. Because when I was younger and I wasn't Reformed, before I came to Reformed school, you would go out to evangelize, and in the back of your mind, you're depending on your skill on the presentation. And sometimes that type of evangelism, they look for programs or tricks or whatever like that. And then if you don't get anything as a result, as you were saying, you start saying, well, I can't do this, or it doesn't work, it's not worth it. Instead of depending on, it's actually the word of God. It's the scripture that changes the heart, not our delivery.
That's right.
And if we can keep that in mind, then we do it because Christ commanded us to do it, not because we're going to see a bunch of people saved because of our wonderful words.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Marlon.
Yeah, I think
Huh?
Trying to do it in my sermon, but it kind of freezes.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this because it depends upon me doing or saying the right thing.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I was coming as a one of my seminary professors, as pastors of church in Philadelphia or Pennsylvania, and they just got a young man who wants to join the church who has like involved in the street ministry. He's real passionate about it. So he emailed me on behalf of the session, just asking for thoughts and advice on how to encourage and guide this young man. But one of the things I share with him is, you know, as Arminianism, I think an evangelist has to be a praying man. An evangelistic church has to be a praying church. And the Arminian theology sort of tends toward an emphasis on technique. Got to learn the right method and just find the right methods of sharing the gospel and all this. But when you understand, right, biblical truth and doctrines of grace, right, it when you truly grasp them, push you toward preaching the word, sharing the word, and prayer. It's that simple. God can use anybody. Yeah?
Well, I was going to say, I'm reminded of something that I had forgotten about this, but my college roommate was not a believer, mm-hmm. and I had become a Christian the year before, and I was very, you know, vocal about what I believed, and I shared with her, and I prayed for her, and I took her to Bible studies with me. And the light bulb just didn't come up. Mm. You know, she just wasn't connected with anything I was saying. But I planted tons of seeds. And one day while I was in class, a Campus Crusade girl came and knocked on the door, shared the gospel with her, and the Lord opened her eyes
uh-huh.
to receive Jesus.
Uh-huh.
She was never the same again.
Yeah.
I mean, she was transformed.
Mm. That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I was going to see. And I think that's what frees you to really share Christ with people. And I think a lot of people are afraid to go out, you know, and do cold evangelism or even share with their own friends because we think, because at heart, we're Arminians, right? We think, no, it's if I'm clever enough, if I'm persuasive enough, if I give the right arguments, whatever, people are going to, nope, it's the Spirit of God. And what does he use? He uses the word. And he works as his people pray. And this is why I think you've seen by now how passionate I am about getting the church praying. Because it's the Lord who does the work. Yeah, Sandy.
And I had a younger co-counselor, and she said, Sandy, it's the Lord's got to do the work. Like, she helped me understand because mm-hmm. I was so frustrated. None of these girls were making a profession of faith. I didn't understand that my role was planting seeds at that point. Mm. I don't know what the Lord's done in any of their lives, but I was faithful to my role, which was to share the gospel with them.
Mm.
And, you know, that was so encouraging because it took the pressure off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought I was doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I went to Westfield in 2019, fall of 2019. Rutgers is down the road, and the pastor's his oldest daughter was in her senior year there. So I thought, let me just go to Rutgers and talk to students and see, you know. So I went a couple times. And one of the days I went there, there was a guy with a table out there inviting people to. He was from India. His family's from India, so he was Hindu, I think they had a table out there or something. So we started talking. We ended up talking for like an hour, And he's from the kind of the Hare Krishna branch. Gave me a book on it, and they, you know, he's like, "Oh yeah, we love like Jesus and the writings of Jesus and this, you know, kind of things." And after, you know, that conversation, I thought, you know, because in his mind, yeah, you know, and if you've engaged familiar with Hinduism, you know, they believe in a multiplicity of gods. Although the Hare Krishna kind of focuses on the one Creator God. But it's also very positive about Jesus. So I thought, this guy, you know, he thinks he knows Jesus, but he doesn't. You know, how do you? And it's kind of like, yeah, that, you know, I couldn't say anything that he didn't, you know, he didn't agree with, and seemed to agree with it. Anyway, and we texted back and forth once or twice, kind of after that COVID came, so the school shut down, so we weren't meeting. And then he moved to Texas into a program, and then ended up going to law school. But I got a text from him. I hadn't heard from him in a couple. I haven't texted in like several years. And then, this past summer, I got a text. Said, "Hey Chris, this is Jay. We met a few years ago on the street at Rutgers University. I was a Hindu when you met me, and it turns out I became a Christian 3 years ago. Praise God! How are you doing?" So, I think I gave him a Bible too. But so I, yeah. Anyway. Why engage in cold evangelism? Because you're investing in the harvest. Why else? Thirdly, it strengthens you spiritually. Ephesians 6, 15, yeah. This is one of the reasons I started becoming passionate about evangelism, because when I, 12 years ago, as a seminarian, went into Boardwalk Chapel and started engaging it every day. And I hadn't done much, I'd done some like overseas missions, and I've talked to my friends about Christ, but I hadn't really gone out and done more of the street evangelism kind of stuff. But spending a summer there, I was strengthened. My love for Christ grew. My love and joy in the gospel grew. My understanding of the gospel grew. My experience of Christ's power in me grew. And my vision, I think, of God's kingdom became clear. I just tremendously strengthened, and I became convinced that evangelism is key to the health of both individual Christians and churches corporately. So that's actually what started me on the trajectory of where I am today. But most Christians forget or don't even realize that evangelism is actually part of the armor of God. Do you realize that? Right, therefore, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Putting on the full armor of God. And he goes through the helmet of salvation, breastplate of truth, breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. Having your feet shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Having your feet shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace. And if you have the ESV, the ESV says, having your feet shod with the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Now, it's true that the gospel gives us the peace. That's absolutely true. That's an interpretation of the Greek there. The Greek, without getting technical, it could be subjective or an objective genitive. So, and I believe it's an objective or subjective genitive. In other words, it should be it could be maybe more accurately, precisely translated with the readiness to give the gospel of peace. Having your feet shod with the readiness to give the gospel of peace. So that actually fits with the grammar of the Greek. And why do I say that? Well, what does Paul say? In Romans, right? How they hear unless one is sent, as it is written, right? You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, which we've been talking about the last few minutes. How they hear unless one is sent, how, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And what's he quoting? Isaiah. Isaiah 40, 52. Isaiah 52. Right, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring, what? Tidings of good news, that's gospel, tidings of peace. So the gospel of peace, the feet, the one going to bear those. And then all, and actually a number of those, four of those armor passages actually are come directly from Isaiah. So I think what he's saying is that having your feet shod with the readiness, right, to give the gospel of peace, evangelism shoes, that puts strength on. But how do you become ready? By actually engaging in it, being involved. And when you're out, right, just talking to people about the gospel, it, you're very intentional. So the thing about cold evangelism, there's like an intentionality, and you just, which gets you talking about the gospel. It starts developing that kind of, you know, gospel fluency. And as you start talking about, as you're sharing the gospel with another person, you know what's happening? The Holy Spirit is preaching the gospel to you through your own mouth. I can't tell you how many times as I've been sharing the gospel with people, right, just those truths start just warming up in my heart. And it's like, and sometimes you find yourself saying things that you hadn't even thought about, you know, you didn't think about before. And it's, and again, it's, you are being strengthened in the gospel. So do you feel lethargic, spiritually lethargic? Do you feel spiritually dull in your vision? Are you lacking the joy? Do you feel like you're low or lacking in the joy that the scriptures speak about, right? Are ours in Christ Jesus? Do some evangelism, and you'll find yourself strengthened. So it strengthens you spiritually, but it's also another benefit, an important benefit, is that it prepares you. For prepares you for your gospel conversations with those that you have relationships with. And Colossians 4:6. Therefore, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person, right? And Peter always being ready. Well, how do you develop that readiness? When you talk with people, talking with people with the about the gospel, in very direct conversations, it kind of gets you thinking not only about the gospel, but you you learn more about what people, unbelievers, are thinking. And the questions that come up, challenges, I never really thought about, wow, how do you answer that question? Or what's, you know, and as you are, right, engaging with people and you start having these gospel conversations, now you're talking with your friend and something just pops up, a conversation, and all of a sudden there's a readiness. You're thinking more in terms of the gospel. And then as you have back and forth, you're developing gospel fluency, as I talked about in the Colossians sermon, right? Developing right, gospel fluency. And I was, you know, I made the illustration of, right, studying 7th grade Spanish, and you're in class, you know, twice a week for a semester. And but it's like, you know, you get into a conversation with someone who actually speaks Spanish, and like you're just tripping off your words, and I can't even speak. How do you develop fluency? Right? Immersion is the way to develop fluency, right? And as you just start talking, and then you start developing that. And being able to talk to people about Christ comes through just doing it. So, gospel so to speak. And then finally, one more reason to do cold evangelism is that God's word and spirit has power, right? Everywhere. Romans 1:16, right? Acts 17:34. So you can look up these on your own. Wherever God's word is preached in the power of the Spirit, God can bring forth fruit. And I've had the privilege of seeing people, right, just in God, you know, using that. and let me tell you, there are people that, in whom the Spirit is working. And you may have the privilege of sowing the word of truth that the Lord is going to use to bring them from death to life. Or maybe the Spirit's already bringing, awakening them. There's some life now happening because the Spirit's moving. Like that kid who just woke up all of a sudden, like, man, I want to see God, you know. Who is God? When I first started doing more regular, you know, kind of street evangelism, cold evangelism at the Boardwalk Chapel, the first like 2 years, did I tell you this? I didn't hand out tracts. I didn't hand out tracts. You know why I didn't hand out tracts? But you know why I didn't want to? I didn't want to. Because we had tracks and other people were doing it. What's that? Because I was too cool to hand out tracks. in other words, like, you know, it's those like crazy evangelist types, like they go out hand out tracks, but no, you know, that's not me. I'll have conversations with people, you know, I can engage with the conversations, strangers, and then I'll talk to them. Like, you know, I'll converse with people. But I'm not gonna be one of those people out there hand out tracks. Well, after about 2 or 3 years, or after being at that ministry for about two summers there, in a ministry like that, you talk to all kinds of people, Christians, like tons of Christians from all over, you know, stop by, like, oh, this is amazing, it's awesome to see this chapel here, you know, and they share either testimony, oh, I came to Christ, you know, 20 years ago, and after hearing enough people tell me about, you know, how God used tracts in their lives. Yeah, I remember this one guy's like, yeah, you know, I had this one coworker, he's a Christian, always trying to give me tracts. No thanks, I'm Jewish, you know. And then he just left some on my desk. I just sat there for the longest time. And then one day I just like picked one up and started reading, and all the bam, the Holy Spirit just got a hold of me. And then I realized, why didn't I want to hand out tracts? Because I was ashamed of the gospel. I didn't think the gospel is a power of God into salvation. Now, of course, I would tell you that. Of course, I could write a paper about that in seminary. But in my heart did not believe that truth, that was my unbelief. And then hearing those testimonies, God and his graciousness started encouraging me, strengthening me in my faith. No, my word is powerful. So now I love handing out tracts to people because God can use that. God can use, you know, cold evangelism. In September, second or third week of September, it was a car convention, classic car convention at the Wildwood on the boardwalk, Irish festival weekend, North Wildwood. So you know, tons of people out there. So I just called some people up, you just put out an email to the church, hey, if anybody's around Saturday, I'm going to open up the chapel, let's just talk to people. A lot of people, let's talk to people. So some people from the church came out, a couple of people who had been on staff, chapel were still around. I invited Tim Cummings as well, and he brought his 8-year-old son, Benjamin. So we go out, I'm at the chapel, I stayed at the chapel, talk to people walking by. They were in a group kind of down boardwalk a ways, and his 8-year-old son's handing had some tracks. Well, this older couple they're walking by, Bonnie's 62, Bill is 80, and grew up Roman Catholic, hadn't set foot in a church since their like confirmation. Bill considered himself an atheist, or an agnostic at least. So they're walking by, but the Spirit had been started working in Bonnie's heart just several weeks before. And there, she started experiencing this desire for God and, that she had never experienced before, and started experiencing a conviction of her sin, being bothered by a sin in a way she hadn't before. So they're walking by. She sees this 8-year-old kid. She says, oh, you know, the kid's just out there. You know, no one's taking it. I'll take a tract. You know, so she takes one. Thank you, you know. And then takes it over and sits down on the bench and starts reading. And there's one of the verses in there just speaks to her, talking about liars. Right? Liars will have their part in the lake of fire, like cannot enter the kingdom. And that was one of the things that she had been just like really struggling with. Like, well, why am I a dishonest person, you know? And so it grabs her. So she and her husband, they start walking down. They see the chapel, and they walk up to find out what the time the mass is, you know. And but I happen to be there. So they walk up and, hey, do you guys know about the way to God? Oh, no, I believe in God, but I know I'm not right with him because I do things that I know I shouldn't, but I can't stop, and I don't know what to do about it. Really, have you ever heard the gospel? Do you know the gospel? I know Christ died, you know, yeah, that Christ died on the cross. Christ died on the cross. Yeah, he died on the cross to save us from our sins. Well, why did Jesus have to die? Well, to save us from our sins. Yeah, but what does his death on the cross have to do with saving us from sin? I don't know. I took her to Ezekiel 36, and I just started reading. It's amazing what God has done. I open up Ezekiel 36, and that promise of the new heart especially just, like, resonated with her. And it gave them a Bible. They didn't have a Bible. I gave them a Bible. Where do you guys live? Oh, the Villas. That's 10 minutes down the road. We got a church in North Wildwood. I'm actually preaching tomorrow morning. You should come. 8 to 10 o'clock. The next morning, they're in the front pew. And she, after the service, she said, the things that you were saying yesterday, I could not get those words out of my head. They're ringing through my head all night. And even some of the things you were saying today. And so anyway, the Lord is, so now they've been coming to the church since. She and now we've started a Bible study going through John, and her husband, the agnostic, who had, you know, and grew up in an abusive home, dad is an Irish Catholic alcoholic, you know, they just, and he's been through a lot of hardship in his life. I was like, I could understand why you wouldn't believe in God, because your experience of God through your own father and through the Roman Catholic Church. I said, it's because you don't actually know who the true God is. But I had them over to my home. We had, anyway, long story short, yeah, now he's, the Spirit's just softening his heart as well. And he's, I think he's not too far behind Abani. But cold evangelism, the Lord uses, right, that tract, that verse, the passage in Ezekiel, all those things. So, I'm not going to go on to relationship evangelism because we don't have time. But we'll have to next week pick up on that. So we'll pause here and then kind of pick up, and then I'll try to kind of bridge the two, connect the two next week. You know, and then we'll talk about sort of the advantages to different types of, you know, these kind of contexts of evangelism, the dangers, benefit, you know, challenges, benefits, or the advantages. So, but I hope, yeah, I hope that you guys, hope you're encouraged to think about the power of the word and the importance of evangelism and engaging in evangelism. And we're going to have some opportunities that I'll let you know about that for some of this more. The cold evangelism here in the Bridgeton area, but also this summer, talk to the session about setting up one or two nights this summer for the church to come down to take part in the evangelism there. And I want to urge you to come. Don't let anything get in the way. Don't let your fears get in the way. Come and begin to engage in it. You don't even have to say anything. Just come and be a prayerful observer. But I promise you, you will be encouraged. The Lord will do something in you through it and strengthen you. So let me just close with that and close this in prayer. Father, we thank you for the power of your word. God, we praise you and thank you for what you are doing in this world. Lord, each person here who knows you can testify to your grace. Lord, I once was blind, but now I see. Lord, blind in my rebellion and darkness, the darkness of my mind and self-worship. But Lord, you in your grace and mercy brought us from the dead through the power of Jesus Christ, gave us eyes to see you, and you redeemed us from sin and has brought us into your kingdom, which is an everlasting kingdom. And Lord, it's amazing that you use us as your instruments to proclaim that word, to call people from death to life, from darkness to light. And so I ask, Lord, that you would strengthen my brothers and sisters here, Lord, you strengthen all of us in confidence in your word, and that as we, Lord, you would use us to share the gospel, to speak of Christ to the lost. And as we do, Lord, you would strengthen us in the gospel that we might continue, as we heard this morning, not just to be rooted in Christ, but to grow up in him and his life. Lord, we want to see people come out of sin, out of death, and darkness. We want to see them come into true life and light, the light of Christ. So work, Lord, work through people. And we continue to pray that you would raise up a harvest, Lord, and use us to sow into that harvest, and use us, Lord, to reap. Give us the privilege. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.